far as the investigation itself, we're still trying to verify and confirm some video, but it appears to show a significant portion of the incident as it happened. There's an individual that's taken into custody. He's a white male. Whether or not that's the person that police ultimately arrested and will ultimately charge in this crime, a bit of a question at this time, but that's just what we've seen so far.
MSNBC humiliates itself in its coverage of the Colorado terror attack, describing the illegal migrant suspected of the attack as a white male. We've got the latest on the legacy media's fails in covering the woke left's descent into madness. And then,
przyszły prezydent Rzeczypospolitej Polskiej, Karol Nawrocki, ogromne brawa!
Poland turns to the right in an absolute thriller yesterday. The nationalist populist Trump-backed candidate Karol Nawrocki defeated their pro-EU Soros-backed candidate Rafał Trzaskowski. We've got the latest on what this amazing victory means for Poland and the future of the EU. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot Professor, back into the studio after a wonderful week in Las Vegas at Bitcoin 2025, which was absolutely amazing. But my oh my, the world simply does not stop moving, does it? As I'm sure you all know, an illegal migrant by the name of Mohammed Suleiman was arrested after he allegedly threw Molotov cocktails on a pro-Israel rally in Boulder, Colorado over the weekend. Suleiman, an Egyptian who purportedly came to the United States during the Biden regime, was reported to have shouted "Free Palestine" in the attack. Now, of course, this attack comes on the heels of the murder of two Israeli diplomats a couple of weeks ago who were gunned down outside of the Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. The suspected shooter has been identified by authorities as Elias Rodriguez, a 31-year-old from Chicago who also chanted "Free Palestine" as he was arrested. FBI Director Kash Patel is calling the latest incident in Colorado an act of terrorism, specifically an act of, quote, ideologically motivated violence, a designation which got members of the legacy media at CNN big mad.
Police chief comes out and says, we don't have 2 + 2 = 4 yet. In other words, this is obviously an anti-Semitic attack and the victims were obviously part of that group. Therefore, we're not calling it terrorism. It's not good for the community. It's not good for the potentially targeted community. It makes law enforcement look disorganized and it makes the FBI look so juvenile. Like, why are you getting ahead of the police chief who says, I don't know what this is. It sounds, maybe it is what we all think it is, but maybe it's not. And he has no incentive to get it wrong.
No incentive to get it wrong. More ironic words have never been uttered. Let's take some stock here, gang. You've got a man, an Egyptian man shouting "Free Palestine," purportedly throwing Molotov cocktails at Jewish protesters. You got a man, a radical socialist man, accused of gunning down two Israeli diplomats and shouting "Free Palestine" as he's getting arrested. I'm curious if you're seeing the same pattern that I'm seeing here. And you'll note the pattern works in two directions. Not only are we seeing a consistent pattern of violence from pro-Palestinian progressives, but we're seeing a consistent downplaying of that violence from the legacy media. Now, you can be absolutely assured that were this in any way, if this were right-wing activists engaged in comparably violent behavior, you could be assured it would make the legacy media's already over-the-top J6 coverage look like a walk in the park by comparison. And the reason for that is that the legacy media operates with what scholars call progressive realism. That's a nice term to write down. progressive realism. And the notion here, progressive realism entails the belief that history trends invariably and inevitably towards the left's version of social justice. And so with history on their side, the job of the legacy media is simply to expose the supposed hypocrisy and blatant distortion of facts, indeed the resistance of that arc of history by the political right and the right-wing media as a whole, so that by exposing their hypocrisy and what they are in reality, we can all come to a wonderful liberal progressive consensus, because after all, that's how history is moving. And it really all goes back to the election of Barack Obama. That was supposedly the watershed moment for progressives, when the country finally arrived to a progressive consensus. And so now all the legacy media has to do is expose the political right for being on the wrong side of history, of being the radical extremists that they really are. And that exposure will maintain a perpetual progressive consensus among the vast majority of the population. For example, I am sure you have seen this. Cory Booker finished a recent speech with an identical arm gesture that Elon Musk made a few months back, and yet not a single legacy media outlet even came close to accusing Booker of flashing the Nazi salute the same way they accuse Musk of doing. Now, of course, the reason for that is because it's the media's job as progressive realists to expose the right for supposedly who they really are, so that we can all form a consensus around the political left. And in the process, all the legacy media is ultimately doing is just humiliating themselves. They are further eroding any trust or confidence that the population would have towards them and their blatantly biased coverage. And the good news is that this massive rejection of the political left ain't just happening here. Wait until you see what just happened in Poland over the weekend. This is absolutely make your day. But first, as you all know, our country witnessed a moment we'll never forget. We saw a man get shot, stand up, fist in the air, and defiant scream, "Fight!" Well, sadly, too many of us have lost our fight. And that's exactly how the globalists want it. They want us weak. They want us out of shape, full of estrogen and microplastics. This is why we are so excited to partner with Chalk. Chalk offers a whole lineup of products formulated to increase your energy, your focus, detoxify your body, and based on clinical studies, boost your testosterone. In fact, the ingredients to the Chalk Male Vitality Stack have been clinically studied to boost free testosterone by 87% in just 21 days. Unlike with gimmicky vegetable pills or powder, you're going to feel the difference, and they have the clinical studies to back it up. And right now, you can get 25% off your Chalk subscription for life. You heard that right, for life. Just go to chalk.com. That's spelled C-H-O-Q.com. Use the promo code TURLEY. That's 25% off any subscription for life, and you can cancel anytime. Chalk is made in America, and their all-American customer service team is standing by to assist you. It's time to make men's vitality great again. Get Chalk today. That's choq.com, choq.com, promo code TURLEY. You can text or call them at 50-CHALK-3000. That's 50-CHOQ-3000. So Poland refused to go the way of Romania over the weekend, just a couple of weeks after George Simeon was robbed of the Romanian presidency. The populist right got its revenge in Poland. Trump-backed Karol Nawrocki won their presidential election in an almost inversion of what happened in Romania. All the polls were showing that the liberal globalist Trzaskowski was poised to win in Poland, but Nawrocki took an early lead in the vote tallies trickling in yesterday. By the way, 80% of the vote in Poland was counted within 2 hours. I'm curious why it takes California months to count their ballots. It's obviously so they can get the same results as Romania got a couple of weeks ago. But this win for Navratsky is huge because it's now the third election in a row where a nationalist populist has won the presidency. Navratsky will be replacing the incredible Andrzej Duda, who served two terms as president of Poland. If you don't know, shortly after his first electoral win back in 2015, Duda presided over a Catholic mass that was televised live throughout Poland, which officially declared Jesus Christ as Lord and King over their nation. It was an astonishing ceremony and testimony to the surge in nationalist conservatism sweeping their nation. And so, needless to say, the last 8 years under Duda's presidency, we've seen an extraordinary transformation of Poland into an officially conservative Christian nation, along with Hungary. Now, that was disrupted a couple of years back in 2023 with the parliamentary elections that put the liberal globalists back into power. After years of harassment from the EU, the bullies in Brussels, they pulled out all the stops to make sure that Poland's parliament was brought to heel. But as it turns out, the Polish people had something very different in mind when returning to the polls yesterday for their presidential elections. The campaign was highly contested, marking a deep ideological divide and significant implications for Poland's future direction, both domestically in relation to the EU as a whole. In fact, one of the highlights of the campaign was in their presidential debate. Navratsky actually walked over to Trzaskowski's podium and planted a rainbow flag, an LGBT flag, on his podium, accusing him of having ultimate loyalty not to Poland, not to Christian Poland, but to the radically woke liberal values of the EU. It was quite the spectacle to behold, for sure, but it underscored how Poland really is going through their own culture war, very much akin to what we've been experiencing here in the United States. But like here in the States back in November, the good guys won in Poland, and let's hope that that is but the beginning of even better things to come for their nation and the whole of Europe as well. By the way, click on the link in the description below to get all these articles and tweets I reference throughout my videos emailed to you each and every day. You're going to love it. We want you to have the best resources out there to convince your family and your friends of this new MAGA super age that's rising here.